And we're back with the Guy James Show. Welcome, everybody, here on the Head On Radio Network. Thanks for joining us today. And as I promised, we've got Joshua Kors with us. Joshua, welcome to the program.
Good to be with you, Guy.
Well, it's good to have you back. I understand you've got some new things in the works, and I didn't know about this Nightline thing. Tell me about that.
Well, I worked with reporter Bob Woodruff. We produced a piece turning my article in The Nation about specialist John Towne and the veterans' benefits scandal into a piece for Nightline.
Well, that's about as good as exposure as you can get. I seldom up that late anymore, but I must be getting old. The PDF of the latest Nation article, the specialist Towne takes his case to Washington. This is a case we talked about on this program, several months ago. I think it was back in the spring. How's that coming along now? Where has it advanced to by now?
Well, it's gotten pretty far. Specialist John Towne, if you remember, was struck by a rocket in Ramadi.
And by the way, I do want to mention, you can read this a lot about this on The Nation right now, right? Is it on there yet?
That's right. Both articles are there.
Okay.
He was struck by a rocket and lost a significant portion of his hearing because of the explosion. Later, after winning the Purple Heart for that injury, the Army doctor who treated him decided he wasn't injured at all. Actually, he had a pre-existing condition of personality disorder, said the doctor, and that's what caused his deafness. Discharging him that way with the personality disorder, they were able to deny him disability and medical benefits for the rest of his life. And as we discussed last time, another provision in that personality disorder discharge is giving back your signing bonus for the years that you're too wounded to serve, so that John, just like thousands of other wounded veterans, is finding out on his final day in uniform, he actually owed the Army several thousand dollars.
And correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of these guys aren't necessarily aware of what's actually happening to them when they sign out, are they?
No, and in fact, all the soldiers I've spoken to in the 12 months I've been reporting on this story told me they were directly lied to by their doctors. The doctors told them that if you take this disability discharge, you will get disability pay, get medical care, and get to keep your signing bonus. It's only in their final hours they find out this is a pre-existing condition that stops them from ever collecting any of those benefits. This leads to tremendous struggles in John's case because he wasn't on the radar of the VA, which looks out for discharged wounded soldiers. He went 8 months without receiving a doctor's visit. And in that time, he was too injured to serve, didn't have any disability pay to support his family, and they almost went bankrupt. At one point, they had to give up their telephone because they couldn't afford the phone bills.
Well, you know, you have to admit, when you stop and think about this whole thing, and there are others besides him, he's certainly not alone. We're finding out there are many, many, many in the same boat. If you were in his shoes, and before signing out, someone came to you and told you the story that this was going to happen to you after faithfully serving your country, you really wouldn't believe that it was true, would you?
Well, it's a little more complicated, but yes, he's certainly not alone. In the past 6 years, 22,500 soldiers have been discharged with personality disorder. Denying those soldiers benefits is saving the military $12.5 billion in disability and medical care. Now, what would happen to soldiers who learned up front that that would be the case? Well, as my reporting went on and word of what I discovered leaked to both the media and to the press, soldiers came to me after having learned about my reporting before their discharge. And in those situations, the doctors took a different tact. They would say, look, you know you don't have a personality disorder. I know it too. And you know now that you won't get disability pay or medical care for the rest of your life. But think of it this way. You're wounded, and and your unit is about to redeploy to Iraq. Your job in Iraq is going to be to cover your friend's back. Do you really want your friends to die because you were too wounded to cover them? Wouldn't it be better to get you out the side door quickly with this personality disorder discharge? We get someone healthy in your shoes and keep your friends alive. And at that point, a lot of these soldiers say, boy, I don't have this condition. I sure do want those benefits, but it's much more important to me that my friends stay alive in Iraq. Sure, I'll take it.
I have to tell you, the hair standing up on the back of my neck as you relate that story to me. That's oh, my God. That's unconscionable.
What brings us to the next level in this upcoming article, which is released this week, I had talked with doctors quoted here in the piece. One doctor told me that he was pressured by his superiors to purposely misdiagnose wounded soldiers, to give them these phony personality disorder discharges. One of the cases he told me really rang true because it reflected many of the cases I'd found in the course of my reporting. He talked about a soldier who came back from Iraq with a chunk missing from his leg. His superiors pressured him to diagnose that as personality disorder.
It's what about the superiors? What about this Major General Gail Pollack? She's acting Surgeon General of the Army, right?
That's right.
Well, is she? She's involved in this, certainly.
She certainly is. Surgeon General Pollack has been amazingly aggressive in trying to bury these cases. In late October 2006, a veterans group who was concerned about this problem brought her a stack of cases, including John Towns, and asked her to review them. She said she would, and 5 months later, she produced a report saying that her office had thoughtfully and thoroughly reviewed the cases, and that all of the cases were properly diagnosed. In subsequent memos, she expanded on this. Her office said they had actually gone back and reviewed the cases from the last 4 years at Fort Carson, where Specialist Town was based, and determined that all of those cases were properly diagnosed. To soldiers that questioned this, her office stated that they had done a review using a panel of independent health experts. Well, I did a touch more reporting on that and found out that no such review occurred. In the 5 months she did her thoughtful and thorough review, Surgeon General Pollack didn't speak to a single person, not even the soldiers whose cases she was reviewing. All they did to is go back to one of the doctors who produced the false diagnoses and said, hey, did you get it right the first time? The doctor said, yep, we did. And they closed the review at that point. Later, I got another admission from them that the four-year review they trumpeted at Fort Carson, that never occurred at all.
Joshua, what do you speculate, and I'm sure maybe it goes beyond speculation, what is her motivation for this, or her actions in this?
Well, obviously it's an embarrassing scandal for the military, and right now they've been very successful in burying it. Not that many people in the public know about this personality disorder scandal, and very few citizens have called their congressmen demanding an investigation. Congress, in some ways, like others in the media, have been touch out front on this. As we spoke last time, congressional hearings were launched by Congressman Bob Filner of San Diego after reading my article. And also, Dave Matthews, the rock star, got involved. He began speaking about my reporting at each of his spring concert series stops. He sparked a fundraising drive to raise money for John Towne, which resulted in thousands of dollars to keep the family afloat. And more than that, he provided a petition that he wanted his fans to sign. In it, there was a demand for a congressional hearing, and weeks later, that did come to pass. But Surgeon General Pollack, she refused to show up at the hearing, just as she refused to speak to me during the time I produced my Nation articles, and refused to speak to both me and Bob Woodruff as we produced our Nightline report. And that kind of stonewalling has been successful because as we speak now, not a single person has been held responsible for these discharges. Not her for leading the cover-up, not the person she tapped to guide that cover-up, Colonel Stephen Knorr of Fort Carson, not even the doctor who falsely diagnosed Specialist John Towne, Dr. Mark Wexler.
Well, you've got some politicians looking into this now, and some with some fairly heavy-duty politicians. I know Hillary Clinton's involved, Lieberman's involved, Elizabeth Dole is in the article involved. They were going to, I forget who it was going to write an amendment with Barack Obama and others that would put a freeze on this personality disorder discharge business. Where have they gotten with that so far?
Well, it's a mixed bag, and I think your listeners will be quite disappointed in what's actually occurred. There have been a lot of words, and 31 senators from across the political spectrum, from Hillary Clinton to Joe Lieberman to Elizabeth Dole, as you mentioned, they signed a letter to the Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates, demanding that he investigate my reporting. But even within the same family, while Elizabeth Dole signed that statement, demanding a critical investigation, her husband, Bob Dole, head of the Dole Shalala Commission on Wounded Soldiers, said, oh, no, this personality disorder thing, it's not a problem at all. That kind of mixed reaction has really been stifling for Barack Obama and Senator Kit Bond, who wrote that bill to try to put a freeze on these discharges. Finally, with the lack of support they were getting both from constituents and from fellow congressmen, they decided to make an amendment, which they put into the Pentagon funding bill, which passed on Monday. Now, for most of the papers, the headline was $150 billion approved to continue the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. But to veterans groups, they were looking at this personality disorder amendment. And Guy, it was watered down in a way that really disables it. In that amendment, instead of freezing the discharges so they can't happen again, it simply requires a review by Surgeon General Gail Pollack.
Geez, the same fox that was guarding the chicken house.
Exactly.
That's disgusting. I'm left speechless by it. Really, I am. We know that John Towne went to Washington and at the hearing room at the, I believe it was what, at the Cannon House office building at the hearings and all, and that had to be quite an experience for that young man.
It was. I testified right before him as well, and he was a powerful speaker, spoke from the heart about what it means to receive a Purple Heart after being struck by a rocket and then be denied everything. The congressmen, both from the left and the right, really supported him, not just with applause and vigorous handshaking, but questions. What can we do to change this? Right now, the tools to change it are right there. I mentioned the Obama bond bill in the Senate. On the House side, that's been matched with a bill by Congressman Phil Hare of Illinois. But neither bill has made any progress, and so right now, these soldiers are continuing to suffer. I continue to get call after call from soldiers who are having this happen, or even from mothers who say, this discharge was recommended to my son, he was just about to take it, and then I saw your article.
Well, how about giving us an update on John Towne? How has he progressed? How's it going now for him? Is he still without benefits? What's the latest?
After word got out significantly, the VA was pressured to take some action. And they went back and they reviewed his case, decided that indeed the Purple Heart winner was wounded in war. And in fact, he was 100% disabled. He is now getting full benefits, and this is just weeks after his family almost went bankrupt. The benefits have been great to him, but health-wise, he's still struggling. I speak to him routinely, and I find him happier, but I think only few of us in the audience can imagine what it's like to have a pounding headache going on 3 years.
Well, he's been to hell and back, and to me it almost seems like the worst part of it would be to come home and be treated by the United States government in the fashion that he's been treated. That would be a horrible nightmare to go serve your country and come home to the treatment that he's had, and it is unconscionable, it really is. Joshua, you're going to keep working on this, I know.
I certainly will.
Keep us updated. I hope you will. It's an extremely interesting subject. It's something that's got to be addressed. And we hope for a better outcome for many of these other 22,000 people, just like it's been getting a little bit better for John now with getting his benefits. And I hope a lot of these can be reversed. And thanks to you, I think you have put a bug in their ear and got this thing going. I don't know what would have happened if somebody hadn't opened this can of worms. Joshua Kors, thanks very much for being on the program. Your website?
JoshuaKors.com, K-O-R-S.
All right. You can catch it all on there, and we'll mention it again. Joshua, thanks so much for being on the program.
Thank you.
Bye now. That's a subject that's hard to talk about. That a young man or a young woman could go to Iraq or Afghanistan or any place for that matter, serve his country honorably, get a Purple Heart, legitimately wounded, decorated, and then have his military superiors treat him in such a fashion. I find it difficult to believe that a young man would be treated in this fashion, and yet we know there are thousands. And it's a blight upon our nation. We ask people to serve, and to be sure they volunteered, but we ask for volunteers. And they go put their lives on the line. It's hell on earth over there. And you have a rocket grenade go off right over your head, and you're injured in the way he's injured. People have had legs blown off, whatever. And then to have your superiors do to you what they've done to some of these people is just a travesty. It really is. Well, we're gonna pause for a break, and we'll be back in a minute.
My strange nation has ocean on two sides and the Bama crimson tide in the south, tilted slightly toward the north. The immigrants pour forth seeking Phoenix and life hand to mouth. My strange nation tilts sharply to the right, with our leaders straight and white as our teeth. Our population's mixed, but our election's fixed in my strange nation, America. My strange nation, built on the backs of slaves who were sailed here across the waves from far away. This cruel experiment was ended by a president who was both a Republican and gay. My strange nation gave the Indians our germs. They surrendered on our terms, as in died. Their survivors filed appeals, so we gave them roulette wheels in my strange nation, America. But my strange nation has lost its mind again, sending young women and men off to war for reasons that aren't clear. unless you're standing near to the rich and the righteous and the bored. And my strange nation, enamored of the cross, and who will win the toss of the coin? The circus and the bread distract us from the dead in my strange nation, America. But my strange nation will surely come around, for you cannot hold us down for long. We'll sputter and we'll cough and throw the despots off. This land, for its mountains and its lakes, tornadoes and earthquakes, for its poets and pioneers, for its fetishes and fears, for its freedom of dissent, for its greasy government, and I will not change.
Back with you here in the Guy James Show. Always interesting to talk to Joshua. Joshua Kors, Nations Magazine. My God, what a story. We'll try and get John on the program as soon as we can. We will work on that. I promise John Town, if he's of a mind to do an interview, we will certainly see if we can get him on to tell his story. It's a tragic story. And thanks to Joshua Kors for doing what he has done on this problem. It's one of those things that, I don't know, out of sight, out of mind, I guess, by a lot of people. They just don't know about it. And let me ask you, do you think, would you ever think that thousands of our soldiers and our service personnel would be treated in such a manner? Would you ever guess that? Wouldn't you think that everybody concerned would want nothing but the very best for them? Here we are playing these mercenaries, these Blackwater mercenaries and other mercenaries in the country, thousands and thousands of dollars. And here a guy like that goes over there, volunteers for the pay that they get, nearly gets killed, gets a Purple Heart, and come home and gets treated this way. At least the mercenaries are getting their big paychecks. And make no mistake, that is what they are. I have, after watching that hearing, what was it, week before last, or was it last week? The guy that runs Blackwater, egotistical, condescending. I was disgusted by his testimony, and I've heard from several of you that felt the same way about it. 866-546-5254. That's 866-546-5254. If you'd like to call the program, we'd be happy to hear from you.